Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for a great special. Beautiful song, well done. And thank you again for being here. We're so glad to have you today. And again, visitors, we thank you for being here. Pattersons have their grandkids with them today, part of them. Glad for that. Just all of you. I'm glad that you're here this morning. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 100, the 100th Psalm. We'll look there in just a moment. It is the week of Thanksgiving. What do we have to be thankful for this morning? Well, now that's an endless response, if we'll be honest and humble, I think. And we could each and every one just go on for a long time speaking of the things that we have to be thankful for. Some of you would have things that I would not have, and I would have things that you wouldn't have. We all have so very, very much in common that we have to be thankful for. And I pray that as we go through this week, we will consider those things. I hope we consider those things on a very regular basis, but certainly I think we should do so a little more so during the week of Thanksgiving. That's the reason for the holiday. Now, obviously, it was established many years ago. The tradition is the first Thanksgiving was held in November of in the late fall of 1620 by the Pilgrims, and we all know that account, and a time of extreme difficulty for them. They had been in the New World, as we call it, Massachusetts and such today, and up in New England, and they'd been here about a year, and all those that landed on that first group, the group that we consider the Pilgrims and such that landed there in Massachusetts Bay and such, and during that first year, over half of them died due to the elements and sickness and disease and various things. But they still took time to be thankful and to rejoice and praise God for the abundance that He had given them in spite of the difficulties and trials. Now, to never ever minimize the difficulties and trials that you may be having today, and I look at this congregation and I know that there are some that are going through some very difficult times and such. But we still have so very much for which to thank God. whatever your situation may be, you can thank God for His grace sufficient, for His faithfulness that Brother Rick just so wonderfully sang about. We have a lot to be thankful for. And I always say this when we think about Thanksgiving and you know, we think about the big things, you know, the major events in life. I thank God for my salvation and my relationship with God above everything else. And praise God for the privilege that led to me having the opportunity to know Christ. You know, living in this country where the freedom was there. Having godly parents that provided that instruction to me. Took me to church and was there with me in church. And those things. And you know, I praise God this morning for my family, for my great and loving wife, and my kids and grandkids, and their spouses, and all that we have there. And you know, I thank God for my church family, and I mean that so genuinely. I appreciate you so very much, and I love you, and I appreciate the opportunity to be your pastor, having been for so long and continuing to be. And I appreciate that. I thank God for that privilege as well. And those are those things that come to mind and such. But, you know, I thank God today as we think about the many, many things that we have to be thankful for. You know, we need to thank God for love. Not just for I love my family and they love me, and I thank God for my family, but for the very things of love. It is great to be loved and great to love. For friendship, maybe outside our church family and our biological family. For laughter, for joy, for peace and security. I said this last week, and speaking of Veterans Day and Thanksgiving and such, I tell you, our old nation is in a mess, but it's still the best place in the world. It is still the best place. I don't want to go anywhere else this morning. I feel as secure here, and you know, we have the horrors of what happened a couple of weeks ago in the church in Texas and such, but you know what? We still live in the most secure nation in the world. And I thank God for those things, for those little things. Again, for laughter and just for, and we could go on and on. It's just kind of an endless thing and such. And so I do hope that you will contemplate during this week what we have to be thankful for. Be thankful for God's all-sufficient grace, His strength and His faithfulness, and the fact that He is there for us. Be thankful for the things that we have. And you know, even we that in this country, those that live in an unfortunate poverty situation have usually vastly more than the vast majority of the population of the world today. So we do indeed. We have a lot to be thankful for. And I'm thankful to be here this morning in this capacity preaching to you the Word of God. And I want us to look at a psalm that is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. I preached from this before. And you know, I'm going through Psalms on Sunday night. Now, we're not looking at every single psalm. But I sure encourage you to come back tonight at 5 o'clock and be a part of that study. We're going to look at another psalm tonight. But when you come to the subject of thanksgiving and praise, it's just hard to get away from the book of Psalms. I'm telling you, it's just so overflowing with that. And that's basically, I think, the theme of the psalm. It's praise, worship, thanksgiving. And we want to look today at the 100th psalm, one of many, many that we could look at when we think of thanksgiving that we're celebrating this week. In Psalm 100, it begins with its title, A Psalm of Praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness before His presence, and come before His presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Oh God, today we thank You and we praise You for what we have in Your blessings today. God, we thank You most of all for the hope and the assurance we find in the salvation of Jesus today. Lord, have Your will and Your way in every heart that's here this morning. Let us, Lord, just take in Your word, and let us leave here this morning a people that are in full obedience to Your will, and a people today that are thankful for what we have. God, we'll praise You for it. Thank You for loving us. Grant me preaching grace, and I'll praise You for it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This particular psalm, it has the title. Remember, that is a part of the psalm, a psalm of praise. We don't know who wrote it. We don't know upon what occasion it may have been written. But it is a psalm of exhortation, that is a psalm of encouragement and praise and adoration to God. We find the exhortation in this psalm of what we should do, and then he tells us how we should do it, and he tells us why we should do it. All of that in five little short verses as we have it today. This would have been a psalm that the Hebrews would have used in their song service, all right? Remember, singing, and I'll mention this again in a minute, but singing was an important part of Hebrew worship. And that's what we find in the Old Testament. And this would have been one of those psalms that they put to music and they used to celebrate and to be a part of their worship when they came together. And so it is indeed a very exciting psalm when you look at it and you think about it. And I hope I can bring that out in just a few moments this morning. First of all, let's look at the exhortation of this psalm. What does it encourage us to do? What does it tell us to do? What does it exhort us to do? Read with me again verses 1, 2, and 4. He tells us, the writer of this psalm, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Look in verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless or praise His name. That is what we are told to do, and to some extent how we are told to do these things. The exhortation, first of all, let us notice, is given to all ye lands. That is an inclusive phrase. Everybody ought to be praising God for what we have in Him this morning. Everybody in all of the world ought to praise God and be thankful to God, not just during our national week of celebration of Thanksgiving, but we ought to be a thankful people, and everybody ought to be. Now, there are those who don't believe in God or say they don't. There are those that address Him in so many different ways, many of which are not what they should be, and all such as that. But folk, in reality, the entire population, the entire mankind in his entirety, past, present, and future, ought to be praising God and thanking God. Now, I can't preach to everybody this morning. I've got you that are in this building confined this morning, so let's just apply this to us. Folk, all of us this morning ought to be praising the Lord. We ought to come to the Lord, and we ought to just do this because of all these things we're going to look at in a minute. But all of us this morning, as I said in the introduction, all of us this morning have things for which to praise God. Now, again, some may say, well, Brother Sid, I am going through a very difficult time. I understand that. Praise God that the Lord will go through it with you, okay? Praise God that His grace is sufficient. Now, I'm not saying that your difficulties are not serious and not real, and they're not something that you're confronting, but I'm telling you, praise God, He'll get you through it. He's going to go there with you. He may not, every step may not be easy. It may be a rough road, but God's on that rough road with you, and we today can do that. So let us all do what? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We quote this scripture often. When we speak of someone that can't, I like to approach it that, they'll say, well, I can't sing. And so we say, well, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all right? And that's true. That's very much what this is saying, all right? We can break this down according to a study of the original Hebrew language and such. And folk, you just can't make this a deep theological thing. This is just good down-to-earth stuff right here, all right? He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The word that is used there and spoken of there is an exhortation to offer worship and praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. It's the idea of a joyous shout, a shout of victory, a shout of excitement. This is the word that would have been used when the commander of an armed group of soldiers they've been in battle and they have won the battle, and the commander of that group finally makes the announcements, we can retreat, the victory is ours, we have won the battle. And that group of soldiers would cheer and praise the Lord. You know, they would be excited because they're finished with the battle and they've won the battle, and it was a time of excitement for them. It's just like the cheer that you give at the end of the ball game when your grandkids have won the game, all right? That's to put it in my age group, all right? That's the joy that he speaks of here. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Folk, I'm telling you today, when we consider God, it ought to excite us, and it make us want to make that joyful noise unto the Lord. I say this, this morning, we don't often enough, and we don't outwardly enough demonstrate what God has done for us in our praise and thanksgiving for Him. Even in our worship services, I think that there's so much, unfortunately, in the religious world today that is, I believe, done out of the flesh, and it's just to call attention to self and such as that. And because of that, we've kind of cowered back, and we've kind of hesitant to express our praise and our adoration to the Lord. Folk, this psalm from God's inspired word says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All right? It's okay if the Holy Spirit's working, the word is being preached, whether it's by me or anybody else, and you just get to feeling the Lord's blessings in your heart and your life. It's all right for you to go ahead and say amen, all right? It's all right for you to go ahead and say praise the Lord. It really is. You can do that. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I think of a story that Brother Ron even shared this yesterday. Charlotte and I met him and such, and he was talking about an old gentleman came in the church, and he was a street person, and he was nasty and didn't smell very good and such. But he came to church one morning, and he sat up close to the front there, and when the invitation was given, he had heard the word of God, and he came to the front and talked with the pastor, and he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. He was saved. I'm telling you, he was born again that morning, and he was beginning to be excited about it. That particular church had the system set up where they baptized. If you came and wanted to follow the Lord in baptism, they did it right then. They took the gentleman back, and they had their typical singing and such, and they got ready, and the old gentleman was there, and they put him in the baptistry, and he's just become a child of God. He'd just been saved, and he was excited about it. And the pastor dipped him into that water and brought him up out and baptized him. And you know, he had never been in church much. He didn't know much about it and all of that. And you know, sometimes we see someone come up out of the water. They say, well, you know, praise the Lord. We say amen. Said that old gentleman just came up out of the water, and all he knew to say was hot dog, hot dog. But let me tell you what, he was making a joyful noise unto the Lord. He was praising God for what he had found. Let us today make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And then let us serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. I believe that's the key term in this particular phrase. Serve the Lord with gladness. I pray that you are here this morning because you wanted to be. You didn't care. You didn't come this morning out of a compulsion and because you just, well, it's Sunday, we got to go to church. I hope you got up this morning. It's Sunday, we get to go to church. Praise the Lord with gladness. Be glad that you can. Be thankful for the privilege and the opportunity to serve the Lord. People all over this world today, because of religious persecution that is in a great upsurge right now, unfortunately, I'm telling you, they would love to be able to come together openly like this and serve the Lord. They would be so excited and so glad to do that. Folk, let us be glad this morning. Let us be thankful. Let us be glad this morning that we can come and serve the Lord in the capacity that we're in communal worship this morning. Let us be thankful and glad that we can serve the Lord tomorrow when we go to work. Let us be thankful and glad that we can serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Our service to the Lord ought to be cheerful. It ought to be freely rendered. It ought to be something that just we look forward to, we want to do, and we get excited about. Serve the Lord with gladness. Folks, listen. If you're not serving the Lord with gladness, your service is lacking, okay? You're missing something. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's a part of this exhortation. And he goes on, and we could look at these in a little more detail, but let's go on and look at this whole psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise the Lord for what we have today. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Just exactly what it says. Singing is a very great way to worship and serve and thank the Lord for what we have in Him. It is a grand and wonderful way to offer up our appreciation and our adoration for God. It is a wonderful way to worship Him. And again, as I said earlier and say often, it was a very important part of Hebrew worship. They did a lot of singing. You can read it in the Scriptures. Read sometime over in Exodus chapter 15. That's right after the children of Israel have crossed the Red Sea. They've been saved from the Egyptian army. They've been freed from 430 years of bondage in Egypt over there as slaves and such. Exodus chapter 15 is a song of praise for what God has done for them. They sang that song. They composed it and they sang it. They were praising God because of what He had done for them. And so today, let us come into the come before His presence with singing. Singing is great. Singing is an exciting thing. It's a wonderful thing. I love the song service that we always have in our services before I get up to preach. I've said this a lot of times, especially when I was in the seminary and I was going around. I'd go somewhere nearly every Sunday because they'd call the seminary and the church where I worked and need somebody to fill in. And you'd go to these churches. And you know, I've been to churches where the song service got you ready. I mean, it was great. It was encouraging. It was one like I think is described here. And that song service got me ready. It got the people ready. And it was a great part of the worship service. I've been when the song service make you think, oh my goodness, no. I don't know if we're going to survive long enough to get to the preaching or not, you know, and such. Folk, listen, I want a song service that gets us ready. I want a song service that is scriptural. I want a song service that is uplifting and encouraging. And most importantly, a song service that honors and worships God in everything that we sing. I say this, I appreciate those that sing specials in our church. By the way, if you don't, you can, okay? All you got to do is just tell Brother Brian, hey, I'd like to sing a special. We'll work you in right then, okay? And such. But you that sing specials, they're always spiritual. They're always scriptural. They're always something that's encouraging and uplifting. And not everything out there today is, I'll promise you that. But I appreciate your choice of song. And folk, listen, let us come into His presence with singing. Now somebody's saying right now, well, I like singing, but boy, I sure can't sing. Go back to verse 1, make a joyful noise, all right? It'll be all right, I'll tell you for sure. God, when it comes, your singing comes from the heart, He hears a melodious melody like from the very hearts of the angels when He hears you sing, because He sees your heart, not your voice. And so today, what are we exhorted to do as we think about praising God? We say, come into His presence with singing. Look down now into verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. This would have been an illustration of the worship of the Hebrews in their area, especially in Jerusalem, where the temple was at. Before the temple was built in the day of the tabernacle, and certainly after the temple was built in the days of Solomon, enter into His gates. The temple compound was surrounded by great walls, all right? When it was a tabernacle, it was a great tent, tent type thing. But nonetheless, it had a gate that you entered into. That's the idea that they're expressing here. You come into the gates. Folks, listen, when we come in the front door back there, I want you to come in with thanksgiving and worship and praise on your heart and on your mind. I want you to come through the door excited about being here. I want you to come through the doors being glad that you're here, glad to see the folks that are in the foyer, glad to know that you're about to go to Sunday school, glad to know that we're going to come in and we're going to sing together and pray together and worship together and all of those things. Come in that door ready to serve and worship God. This is talking about when they would come together. So let us come into His gates with thanksgiving. And here's an interesting note about this from the Hebrew language and such. The word thanksgiving in verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, is the exact same word that you find in the title of the psalm, a psalm of praise. They translated it praise in the title and thanksgiving in verse 4. Praise and thanksgiving, folk, it's synonymous. It all goes together. It's all the same thing. Folk, let us enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Once you pass through the gates, you were in the courts of the temple grounds. You were in that court. That's where the public worship went on. The tabernacle or the temple itself was a small facility, mostly used by the priest, almost exclusively. The public worship would be in that courtyard outside of the temple. Come through the gate singing, and when you get inside, keep singing. Keep praising the Lord. Keep worshiping God. And keep doing those very things. And that's what the Lord is telling us in this to do. So, folk, listen. As you go about your day tomorrow and throughout every day in life, praise God. All right? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Folk, be thankful unto Him and bless or praise His name. Be thankful unto Him. I always mention at Thanksgiving time that we must offer appropriate thanks to all to whom it is worthy. Folks, listen. There's a lot of people that we need to be thankful for and towards in our life, all right? Men, don't let a day go by you don't thank your wife for what she does for you, all right? Don't let a day go by. After you've eaten way yonder too much Thursday, you be sure and thank the cooks, okay? You be sure and be thankful to the cooks. You thank them. You be thankful. You be thankful to those that provide for you an opportunity for your job and your source of income. Brother Sid, you don't know who I work for. Well, I tell you what, they're signing your paycheck and you've got an opportunity to work. Praise God for them, all right? I understand what you're saying, but be thankful and tell them, I appreciate the opportunity to work for you. You know what? It might just be what the Holy Spirit uses to convict them and show them the love of God through you. Tell them thanks. Tell those thanks that are just special friends. You know what? We always, you know, if somebody does something for you openly and outwardly, it's just immediate. We say, well, man, I thank you so much. Man, I appreciate you doing that. This week, thank somebody for their friendship. Tell them just that. Hey, man, listen, I want to thank you for your friendship. And I tell you what, it'll make them feel good, and you too. It really will. Thank them for their friendship. Thank those that are there for you when you need them. Whatever there's a lot of people that we ought to be saying thank you to. And by the way, how do you offer appropriate thanks to someone? Well, there are lots and lots of ways, and I could talk a long time about that. But let me tell you one of the best ways to offer appropriate thanks to someone for something great that they've done or for the fact that they're your friend. And that's pretty great. Just say, thank you. It don't have to be long and elaborate. It doesn't have to be a great act of something. Just say, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part. Thank you for helping me with this. Just the simple words. But thank you. But most of all, above everybody else, without any reservation whatsoever, the most appropriate person to whom we should offer thanks today, it must be to God. This whole psalm is talking about God. Verse 4 says, be thankful unto Him, God. Folk, if we'll stop and humbly, honestly consider what we have to be thankful for, and remember what James tells us over in the New Testament, all good things and every perfect thing and all good things and every perfect gift comes from where? It comes from above. It comes from God. All right? Yeah, your employer might sign your paycheck, but God's been involved in that, okay? He's blessed you to have what you have, all right? God was in a part of you having that family that you have, those friends that you have. Folk, let us praise God today for what we have, and that is in its entirety. That's what we're exhorted to do, and I'll go real quickly. Praise His name. Praise His name to Him and to others. Now, why should we be so thankful and praising God? Why should we be so appreciative of God? Very simply, verse 3, and we're going to do this real quickly. Folk, let us know that the Lord, He is God. Because He is God. Because He is God, and it is He that has made us. I'm going to read this. When you read your Bible, when you see the little words in italics, those have been added by the translators. About 99% of the time, they're good and they're helpful and they give us a better understanding, all right? I'm going to take those words out right here and read this and just listen to what it says, all right? There's no disservice to the scriptures by doing this or by having them in this particular spot. But listen to what it says. Know ye that the Lord, He, God, He has made us. He, God, has made us. Folk, let me tell you what, I want to thank God for creation today because I'm a part of it. It is by God, by virtue of God being the great and divine creator, the omnipotent creator that brought all things into existence, that we exist today. I'm glad that we do. He is our God, and He is the one and the only God, and I praise Him for that. I love what it says next. And we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are His people by virtue of creation to the nation of Israel, by being God's chosen people from the calling of Abraham. For you and me today, by virtue of eternal salvation, we are His people. I belong to God. He belongs to me. I am an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. I am a part of His family. I am His son, John chapter 1. I am God's today. I belong to Him. Praise God. Now, I'm proud of my family heritage. Now, I'm like everybody else. We've got some skeletons in the closet, but I can't help that. But you know what? I'm proud of my mom and my dad, that heritage. But let me tell you what, I am thankful today I belong to God. I am proud that I can call out to Him in all reverence and righteous sincerity, my Heavenly Father, because He is my Father. And I'm glad today that I can tell you that Jesus is my personal Savior. Folks, I'm tell you what, we are His. And the sheep of His pasture. The sheep of His pasture. I always think of this, when I read this, I always think of the 23rd Psalm that we're all very familiar with. The 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me." He's talking to God, beginning in verse 4, by the way. "Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Ooh, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The reason that we can say that, the reason David could write that, is because the Lord was his shepherd, and it was in His pasture that David was dwelling in. I heard a pastor yesterday at a funeral that I was working, and he used the 23rd Psalm, as we all so very often do at funerals, and it is very appropriate. But he took a little different direction from it that I liked. And he said, "The Lord is." And he stopped. And he began to talk about to this family that had lost their loved one and those that were there, what the Lord is and wants to be in our lives. The Lord is our provider. He is our protector. He is our shepherd. He is our shield and our buckler. He is our everything. He is our grace sufficient. He is, and he went on. And folk, I'm telling you what, by the time he was finished, I was convinced that God was everything that we needed. Not that I didn't have that before, but I'm telling you, it was encouraging to me to hear that. The Lord is a shepherd, this is what he ought to be, that owns the sheep, John chapter 10, will provide everything those sheep need. Protection, provision, taking care of them, everything that is talked about in the 23rd Psalm, it is there for him through that good shepherd. Folks, let me tell you today, we are the sheep of his pasture. That is what we have to be thankful for today. That is what we have to be thankful for. Real quickly in verse 5. Why should we praise the Lord and be so thankful to God? Why should we offer such praise and thanksgiving to God? Verse 5, summation. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. I don't need to expound on that. Folks, listen. God is good, and He's good to you and me. He's good to us this morning in everything that He does. Even when we receive His chastisement, the book of Hebrews, it is because He loves us and He wants the best for us and He wants to keep us from harm. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Folk, don't ever let a day pass you don't thank God for His mercy and His grace and His goodness. And it is everlasting. It will never be extinguished. It will never be used up. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. This truth that was written by this psalmist, whomever he was, whenever he wrote it, many, many, many hundreds of years ago. Folks, that truth is still good for you and me today. And it'll be good till Jesus comes and thereafter. Folks, listen today. We're coming into the week of Thanksgiving. We have so much for which to be thankful. And when you think, well, yes, I understand, Brother Sid, but I am just so overwhelmed with this trial I'm going through right now. You thank God for the privilege of prayer, and then you just cry out to God, Lord, help me. Thank you, God, for this privilege to pray. God, help me in this. I've got to have some help. I don't understand. Praise God. Folk, as Christians this week, we have an opportunity. This is something that usually happens at holiday time. Family and friends gather and such. Some of them may need Christ. Some of them may need Christ. I'm telling you today, we need to tell them about Christ. How do we do that? We praise God before them and about with them, and we tell them about Jesus. Folk, today, let us be a thankful people this week and every week and every day.